So tonight I'm going to talk about an odd topic, allowing. And part of my inspiration for this is the psychologist David Deada talks about the five aspects of love, which he calls the five A's: attention, acceptance, affection, appreciation, and allowing. And it's interesting. It's similar allowing, do we allow others to be who they are? And it's related to attention, but there's something about it that's a little more active. It's almost like extending an invitation. Some people are very shut down, and even when there's space for them, they don't necessarily step out and share themselves. There has to be more of an invitation to draw them out, and allowing can be that. And of course, there are some people who are very shut down, but I think all of us have places that are shut down that need more of an invitation to come forward. And so it's an interesting thing to think about. I don't think any of us would say to one of our friends or to our lovers, I'm not going to allow you to be who you are. Like it wouldn't be that explicit. And I think there's often very subtle ways that we communicate our disapproval, what we're comfortable with, and a lot of it might not even be something that we're aware of. The way our tone of voice changes, our way our facial expression changes, body language, posturing, even just the change in our eyebrows or the curve of our lips, something like that. And it can be enough to communicate, I'm not comfortable with going to this topic, I'm not comfortable with going in this direction, I'm not comfortable when you're in this way of being. And if we're with someone who's sensitive to those signals, they might stop being that way to make us happy, And it's a tricky thing, of course, in any friendship or in any love relationship. You don't want to go out of your way to make the other person uncomfortable or sad. And I think what happens sometimes is that those relationships can get into a kind of detente where, through these, not even through conscious agreement, but through all this subtle cueing, all right, we're not going to talk about this topic. Well, we're not going to talk about this topic either. We're not, and all these things sort of get swept under the carpet into silence, and then people realize that they're living this kind of shell of a relationship that feels kind of hollow. Unfortunately, there's some relationships I think that stay that way for years. I think what happens in when people have a little bit more, when are a little bit healthier, is at some point someone gets fed up or tired of that, and then they open a difficult conversation. And then that one difficult conversation causes another difficult conversation. And suddenly all these difficult conversations come tumbling out, And it's difficult and it's a lot to work through. And when that's over, people feel so much alive and connected and comfortable. And there's a new vibrancy to the relationship because both people are now allowed to show up fully. And so it's an interesting inquiry. What are the subtle ways that I'm communicating, allowing or not allowing in my close relationships, And are there ways that I might not even be aware of that I'm communicating that message of, you're not allowed to be fully who you are? Now it's one thing in a close relationship, in a long-term friendship or a long-term romantic relationship. It can be trickier with people that we don't know or strangers. because at least someone who knows us, they might know a little bit of our history, or they might, even if, you know, on one day, you know, they don't feel an invitation, they may come back and ask or push more, you know, but it with strangers or people we don't know, there's often just a one-time interaction, you know. And there could be anything about if I'm just tired or you know, upset about something totally unrelated, someone might read that as being a cue toward them, you know. You know, what does it mean to walk through the world with a deep quality of allowing so that every person we encounter feels that, just that implicit permission, you can be who you are in front of me, you know? And do we have that? I know there's been a few times in life that I've met people who have that, and it's palpable. It's like this, you're with them and you just feel this kind of relaxing throughout your body, like, wow, I can really be who I am here, you know? And it's, you know, many of those people have been energy healers, incidentally. And so it's a very interesting question. What are the subtle ways that we communicate allowing or not allowing? And one of the many ways that this plays out is with race. And I think part of white privilege is not being aware of how, just by moving through the world and doing my thing, I might be communicating messages to people of color about, you know, you're allowed or not allowed to be a certain way around me. So I'm just going to read this list of characteristics of white privilege. Perfectionism, sense of urgency, defensiveness, there's only one right way to do things, paternalism, either-or thinking, fear of open conflict, individualism, objectivity, and right to one's own comfort. You know, and it's a fascinating thing just to contemplate these, you know, because unfortunately we live in a society in which, especially if we live in a society that has a fear of blackness, and especially African Americans are often cast as a threat. And so it's very tricky, even if I don't intend to communicate anything, if my implicit message is, don't go there, or I might get uncomfortable, that might be enough to shut somebody down. Because at least in our history, there's been times that black people have been killed because white people felt uncomfortable, you know? And so it's a very important inquiry, and a rich inquiry. Again, what does it mean to hold this tremendous quality of allowing, even across lines of race, even across lines of otherness, you know? So that even someone who is totally different from me in terms of race or religion or values or politics or anything still feels that allowing coming from me. And just as allowing can be incredibly powerful across boundaries of outer otherness, it can be powerful across boundaries of inner otherness. And again, this idea that I often talk about, Jung liked to frame much of our inner experience in terms of our inner otherness, those parts of the psyche other than ego. Do we allow the broken parts of us to be as they are? you know, if we're ever, you know, imposing conditions and, you know, wanting to control them, you know, how can I say? Think about how wanting to control somebody, like, that's not a particularly successful strategy in the interpersonal world, you know? Like, I'll be your friend, but you need to follow all these rules. Like, that's not something, you know, it's not a healthy way, obviously, to approach others. And yet there's a way that we approach some of our inner otherness that way, you know? And what does it mean simply to allow, to extend this allowing? Not only do I want to offer, open up healing in this area of my life, but I want to allow that broken place to heal however it wants to heal, however it's going to heal, and show up however it's going to show up in my psyche after that. And so then there's allowing toward otherness in the world, there's allowing toward otherness in ourself. And then away, apart from the interpersonal plane or intrapersonal plane at all, there's just allowing the world. Do we allow the world to be as it is? Do we allow life to have a life of its own? You know? And it's tricky because, of course, allowing is not, just like acceptance, it's not indiscriminance. It doesn't mean doing nothing. You know, of course, we'll do everything that we can do, everything I can do to make the world a better place, to make the world more positive. But of course, even at the max of my efforts, there's only going to be so much that I can do. And there's going to be a lot of the world that is simply beyond my control or beyond my ability to influence. And to what extent can I allow the world to be as it is? And it feels to me a step beyond just accepting the world as it is. Allowing feels much more like an affirmation of the world as it is. So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet. The top of the quote sheet, I have a quote from David Riccio's book where he's talking about the five A's. And then I have the characteristics of white supremacy culture and a link if you're interested in reading more. From the German writer Hermann Hesse, "There is no reality except the one contained within us. This is why so many people live such an unreal life. They take images outside themselves for reality and never allow the world within to assert itself." Shunryo Suzuki says, "The practice of Zazen is not for gaining a mystical something. Zazen is for developing or allowing a clear mind, as clear as a bright autumn sky." This whole idea that enlightenment is something that you don't have to work for, it's already there, you just have to allow it. Psychologist Luis Buscaglia says, "Love is the ability and the willingness to allow those you care for to be what they choose for themselves without any insistence that they satisfy you." The Jungian psychologist Marion Woodman says, "Body work must be approached with the same respect and attentiveness that one gives to dreams. The body has a wisdom of its own. However slowly and circuitously that wisdom manifests, once it is experienced, it is a foundation, a basis of knowing that gives confidence and total support to the ego. To reach its wisdom requires absolute concentration, dropping the mind down into the body, breathing into wherever is ready to be released, and allowing the process of expression into the negative damned energy that is until the negative damned energy that is out, making room for positive energy, genuine light, to flood in." I have tremendous respect for Marion Williamson. Ram Dass says, "The human heart has the extraordinary capacity to hold and transform the sorrows of life into a great stream of compassion. Compassion is the movement of concern and kindness In response to the difficulties of any living being, compassion arises when you allow your heart to be touched by the pain and need of another. Jon Kabat-Zinn says simply, just watch this moment without trying to change it at all. What is happening? What do you feel? What do you see? What do you hear? The basics of mindfulness. David Nichtern says, the idea of dropping our thoughts of past and future and allowing ourselves to be awake and present is a very radical idea. Our society has a tremendous engine for creating dissatisfaction, desire, and craving. Happiness is going to be this, it's going to be that, but it's never going to be enjoying yourself where you are and as you are. For most of us, cultivating simplicity and contentment might take some real effort. Esther Hicks says, every time you praise something, every time you appreciate something, every time you feel good about something, you're telling the universe, more of this, please. You never need again to make another verbal statement of this intent. If you're allowing your cork to float, all good things would float to you, would flow to you. Joseph Rain says, quite simply, allow what is to be. Five very profound words. Veronica Tulugova says, authenticity is not the search for uniqueness. An oak tree does not try to become an oak tree. A cactus does not try to become a cactus. All living things simply reach for nourishment. They reach for the sun, reach for water, reach their roots deeper into the ground. By being open to receiving what they need, they become unique effortlessly. So let yourself fall open. Forget about crafting your unique personality. Just allow. Allow in love. Allow pain. Allow desire. Allow learning. Allow healing. Allow frustration. Allow uncertainty. Allow yourself to experience what you must experience and learn what you need to learn so that your uniqueness can emerge organically. Lyric Hutchinson says, harmony is in our natural state of being, and so when our energies become too stagnant, chaos is thrown into the mix to stimulate what will eventually result in balance and invite flow. The trick is not to let chaos trap or define you. Simply allow it to create a movement of your vehicle, of your life, so that you can snap your eyes open and take back control of the wheel. Do not lose yourself in the storm. Instead, be the calm in the storm. Kelly Martin, and she has a book with a wonderful title, When Everyone Shines But You, Saying Goodbye to I'm Not Good Enough. She says, make sure you keep an inner state of flexibility and are not too tightly bound to your visions. Peter Santos says, when our will is strong and aligned with divine intent, there's nothing we cannot do or be. With power and guidance flowing through us, life becomes an effortless dance as we relinquish control and limitation, and allow our spirit within to express itself. Raphael Zernoff says, life works in a very simple way. Resist it less and allow it to unfold the way it wants. Use your power of allowing. Tashira Taichi Ren says, all beings are vast multidimensional masters. They may be exploring divinity or limitation, but they are masters nonetheless. Then it becomes okay to simply allow them their process. You know, the idea that, you know, say even our president is a multidimensional master and we have to allow him to explore his process. Miranda J. Barrett says, any moment can be a spiritual moment if allowed. And Debashish Midra says, dream big, work with passion, and then let it be.